This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. We're always glad that you stopped by. Today, we're going to be talking about what's going on in the government in terms of getting a job, getting a federal job. What is the state of the federal market right now in terms of federal employers? You know, has sequestration completely stopped hiring? Are there ways in which people can get into the government? People are constantly saying that they're not seeing the same amount of jobs on USA Jobs. They're not seeing the same amount of opportunities. People are concerned right now. What is the state? What is the outlook of the federal market right now? And what are the different ways you can get into the government? We're talking to Lily Whiteman. She is an expert, a career expert, and she has her book on how to land a top paying federal job that's out there. You can find it in a number of different. I'll let her talk about where you can find it. But it's out there right now, her newest edition. Lily, always glad to have you on the show.
Thanks so much. Good to be here.
Talk to us right now, you know, because I know as you're doing your research on your book and you're looking around different things and you're looking, you know, you're writing about the different issues. What is the state of the federal government right now? I mean, sequestration. Everybody talks about sequestration on these budget issues. Has it completely shut down federal government hiring? Are you still seeing federal agencies hiring? Should people be concerned and start just completely redirecting their attention to the private sector, the NGO sector? What's going on?
Well, the federal government is the nation's largest employer, so it is always going to be hiring. By definition, the sequestration was an odious option that nobody wanted. And I think that a lot of agencies have cut back some, to be honest, on hiring. But a lot there is still a lot of hiring going on. And I think that when President Obama proposed his budget, it was just announced the other day that agencies that were going to have furloughs, many of them pulled back their furloughs or reduced them. So that's a sign that agencies are feeling more comfortable, and I think there'll be more hiring in the future. And there is current hiring. The agency that I work for has recently hired a number of people in my own department, and people contact me all the time asking for advice with salary negotiations. They've been given offers, and if you look at USA Jobs, there might not be as many openings as in the past, but there still are many. And I talked to the other day an official at OPM about the internship program, such as the Presidential Management Fellowship Program. And I asked her about the effect of sequestration on those programs. And she said that the OPM, Office of Personnel Management, and the federal government is aware of the huge retirement wave, and they're still dedicated to backfilling for that, and they know they need to work on human capital.
You know, with that being said, and you just kind of even mentioned something that I'm seeing sometimes. I talked to another federal person from a federal agency. She said, hey, listen, we're still hiring. We're not affected by sequestration as much. There's some agencies who are not really impacted by sequestration, whether it be they're not in the budget line that way or either monies were already allocated or their mission allows them certain kind of freedoms and everything else. Are you seeing that as well?
Well, just the most recent issue of Federal Times, which is online for free, had agency by agency listing of what the budgets would be under President Obama. And many of them went up. For example, the SEC expects to do a massive amount of hiring. Department of Justice is increasing its background checks. That's going to create a huge amount of hiring. Department of Energy has a budget increase. Health and Human Services is stationary. So there's a lot of agencies that haven't been hurt if President Obama's budget goes through.
You know, I always monitor the news, and sometimes I always tell people, when you watch the news, sometimes you can also tell what's going to end up happening with some of the federal agencies in terms of increases of hiring and everything else. You know, with the unfortunate incident that happened in Boston with the terrorism and everything else. And now, you know, the FBI and everybody, they did a great job in finding the person. But now there's that scrutiny that, are we doing enough? You know, do we need to increase the number of people who are working in the FBI, Homeland Security, and other things like that? Do you think that's in the tea leaves, that we may see increases of hiring? I mean, do you think that's a good policy to kind of see where the news is kind of tracking, to kind of determine where federal agencies may put their money?
Absolutely. And if, you know, a few years ago, a new agency on consumer protection was created.
Yeah.
So if you hear about new agencies being created, or new offices, or new task forces,
or something like that,
yeah, that's the place to go. Absolutely. But on the sequestration issue, too, a friend of mine works at the airport and said yesterday the lines were enormous because sequestration went into effect and there were fewer TSA people there.
Mm.
So it's going to start to hurt people soon. And then you'll get some blowback, I think.
Right. You'll start getting some people calling their congressman or calling their senator and saying, listen, what's going on? It didn't used to be this way. And then maybe that would kind of change the tide. I know the president signed, I think it was H.R. 933, which is continuing resolution. When continuing resolutions get signed, do agencies feel a little bit of more comfort to kind of say, you know what? We'll you know, we can hold, like you mentioned, that, you know, furloughs are going from 14 days to 7 days and other things like that. Do they get a little bit more comfortable to bring some people in or things like that when that happens?
I think so. And I think that continuing resolutions have become the new normal,
really, in
the last couple of years. So it's not the shocker showstopper that it used to be.
Right. Is the hype too much? I mean, you know, when you're seeing the hype, I mean, is the hype too much about sequestration and everything else? Should people who are on this government job search kind of put that out their mind and just focus in on the job search and stop? I mean, what's your take on it? I mean, because sometimes the news will hype up things.
Absolutely. You know, I heard about an opening, a high-level public affairs opening just the other day, where there were about 200 applicants, but the hiring manager said only one was really qualified and did a great application and what she was interested in interviewing. So, that's a lesson that you've got to work on your application,
right?
And you can stand out no matter how many people are applying for the job.
Right. You know, and we're going to get to that because I want to talk to, and later on in the show, we want to talk about how to make yourself more competitive. And I know you talk about that in your book as well, about kind of, you know, making yourself that most competitive person. You know, as we look, you know, there's a lot of people have talked about the Pathways program. They talked about internships, whether it be paid or volunteer internships and everything else, about ways in which you can get into the federal government. Do you think right now, especially for young people who are looking for those entry level jobs, is the Pathways programs and internships, are those some of the best dynamics and best tools to get into the federal government?
Yeah, they're a great way to get into the federal government because they also offer, in many cases, the ability to transition seamlessly into a full-time job. And there are opportunities to, even if you don't transition, to make contacts, to learn the ropes, to get mentoring. The great thing about these programs is they're not meant to give work for coffee fetching and Xeroxing,
right?
No grunt work. They're really meant to give recent graduates and students a substantive experience, but that's certainly not the only way to get into the government.
You know, when in this whole thing, as we're looking at a number of different opportunities, when you look at a dynamic of you know, these pathways, and you kind of see multiple openings, is that like a sign right there? Like, when you know, because I always tell people, when they're looking at opportunities, you know, if you see that multiple dynamic, that's definitely a go-ahead position. You know, it's like green light, that thing, you know. So, I mean, what are you finding? Because a lot of people will talk about USA jobs and they'll say, well, some of these jobs are triggered for somebody. Some of these jobs are written for somebody. What are some of the key signs to say that this job is really open?
You know, I think there are a lot of myths out there. For example, some people think that if a job is only open for a week or two, that means that it's pre-selected. And no, as part of the efforts of agencies to speed their hiring, that's some of the agency policies, is to leave it open for only a short period of time.
Is that because they don't want to get too many people?
I think it's just because the whole Obama reforms of smoothing out easing, making humane the federal application procedure, they want to quicken it. And that's one of the ways to quicken it. So I think that even when a job is pre-selected, and I think that's really the minority, you never know if that pre-selected person is going to miss the application deadline, got another job, got sick. There are a whole slew of reasons why the pre-selected person might not end up in the job. So it's good to throw your...
A lot of times the pre-selected person is looking for another job, too. I mean, they may be looking for multiple jobs.
And I know many cases like that. What's pre-selected?
Where the person who was selected is like, great, you know, but they got three different offers, and that's just one offer out of many. And so the other people in the pool, if they made a great wow impression, they're the person.
You know, the only real sign, I think, is if an announcement is written where the requirements could only be filled by about one person in the universe, they're very specific. Then it's probably, it may, high probability that it's pre-selected for somebody. But generally speaking, if you don't fulfill most or all of the qualifications for an opening, your time is better spent somewhere else anyway.
You know, I want to talk about on two different areas with these internships and then also going for more experienced people. But are these pathways and these internships and volunteer opportunities within federal government, would you say that is probably the best way to get in the door right now? I mean, in terms of a federal job?
I think it's a great way, but there's a lot of other great ways because there are a lot of other internship programs, let alone regular entry-level jobs. I got my first government job just by applying for an entry-level job. There are many other great internship programs that are not part of the pathway system that provide excellent opportunities, and I can tell you about some of those. And another little-known way is that a lot of associations sponsor internships for students and recent graduates and graduate students where they place them in federal agencies, and they still work shoulder-to-shoulder with feds. So that's a great avenue also. For example, the American Public Health Association sponsors one of those internships. They place people interested in health careers at the Centers for Disease Control and EPA.
Wow.
So that's another way.
Hold that thought right there, because I want to talk about some of those additional programs when we come back. We're talking to Lily Whiteman. She is the author of How to Land a Top Paying Federal Job. It's out there. It's on Amazon.com. Where else can they find it?
Barnes & Nobles and many bookstores.
And many other bookstores.
Anywhere you'd buy a book.
Anywhere you buy a book, you can find it. You can just Google it, and you'll find it out there. A great book out there that gives you the full kind of dynamic and really kind of lays it out in various parts. And we'll talk about the parts as we go forward, but lays it out in a structured way in order how to find that top-paying federal job. We're talking about the job market in the federal side. We'll be right back after this break. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're talking about how to land a top-paying federal job, how to get into this federal job market. Talking about the federal outlook right now, what's going on in the market? What's going on in terms of sequestration? How is it impacting any hiring, internship programs? What's the outlook, and should you still be pursuing federal jobs as a viable option in terms of your job search? We're talking to Lily Whiteman. She is the author of How to Land a Top-Paying Federal Job. It's out there anywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any other bookstore. You can do a Google search on it, and you can find the book and get it. But we're talking about some of her strategies and talking about what she's seeing in terms of the federal market. Lily, in terms of what we were talking about in the first segment about these internship programs, you know, you're saying that there's stuff that's out there that sometimes is one, it may not even be posted on USA Job. I mean, all these kind of different programs that are out there. Talk to us about some of these programs.
Well, many of them are open to one and all, but a little known fact is that there are many internship programs out there that are, and they're well-paying internship programs that are especially recruiting for minorities and women. And I'll give you an example of one. It's called the Significant Opportunities in Atmospheric Research SOARS. And you Google for it, you can find it. This is for students, current college students, who are interested in the sciences. And you get in and you go there every summer. And basically they pay for your transportation to and from Boulder, Colorado. You work with top-notch scientists at various institutions in Boulder, which, by the way, is quite beautiful and a great place to spend the summer.
Definitely.
They pay for your transportation. They pay, give you housing. You live with your fellow interns. And they give you mentoring, training, on-the-ground great resume stuffing experience. It's a total immersion experience that basically costs nothing and has a great rewards. One person I talked to from the program kind of compared it to MTV's Real World, in that you're living with the people and it's a total immersion experience. And how many people know about that?
Right. I tell people this all the time. There's no one place to find all these federal opportunities. I mean, you know, USA Jobs doesn't have all of them, you know? I mean, so what do you find? What's the best way for a person to find these unique opportunities? Like even the associations, this unique opportunity you just talked about, there's all these unique opportunities that are out there that are never ever posted on one site.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice if USA Jobs posted a
everything,
list of
right?
things,
yeah.
everything, or at least told people what it doesn't have.
Sure.
But, you know, one of the reasons I wrote my book was to tell people about everything that's out there. And the CD on my book has a very comprehensive list of various internship programs okay. in various agencies all over the country, fellowship programs for experienced professionals who want to transition to the government. There are 1 or 2 year appointments that get you in and sometimes segue into permanent jobs. And I have also a list of the opportunities that are specially recruiting for women and minorities. An example of a fellowship program is the AAA fellowship program, where they recruit scientists and, again, give them mentoring, various training. Scientists of all ages. I understand there was a recent participant who was 70 years old.
Wow.
And place them in federal agencies on various policy and communications type positions.
Right. So age is not really, you know, some people get worried, am I too old to do these programs or things? Age is really not a factor unless you're going into like maybe trying to be a special agent or something like that.
Right.
I mean, that's the only time I really the age or going into maybe the military or something like that, right?
Right, absolutely. Where I work, there was an older person recently hired, and the statistics are that the federal government is hiring older, more experienced, more seasoned people than it ever has before. And I think that's partly because of the retirement wave. There are more executives and upper level people retiring. And one of the ways they're backfilling is bringing in people from other sectors.
Right. You know, as we look, I mean, would you suggest, you know, for a person to really try to, if you have a certain kind of industry in mind, okay, say for instance, you like science, or you like, you know, agriculture. I mean, would you suggest to really try to find the agencies who do that work? I mean, so, you know, especially since there's no one place and you got the stuff on your CD as well, but would you suggest, you know, beyond, and you may find it there, but it's part of that strategy just to kind of identify various agencies who have these things, or what is that?
Absolutely, but, you know, and there is a list of all the federal agencies in the federal government. If you go to USA.gov, flip you over to a hyperlinked list of every agency in the government. And one way to find the things that aren't listed at USA Jobs is to go to the career sections of all those agencies, which is quite a lot of work, which is why I made the list my book. But there's sometimes surprising openings. It is not always a one-to-one fit between what you're interested in and the type of agency. And the best example I have of that is talk to a recruiter for in one of the intelligence agencies, and they said they recruit experts in fashion and hairdressers in order to design the outfits for spies.
Mm.
So, you know, a hairdresser might not necessarily think there's opportunities in the intelligence communities.
But there are.
Yeah.
I mean, without question. You know, as we look at that, and as we begin kind of, you know, going through the dynamic of where the federal government is going in the next few years and maybe some of the challenges, you know, I've seen a number of things that I've kind of noticed. A lot of term positions I'm starting to see a little bit more. Even agencies that I didn't see, you know, have term positions, I've started to see a couple of agencies starting to list, hey, listen, we're going to hire somebody for 3 to 5 years or 1 to 3 years or whatever the case is, and not necessarily bring them on as a full civil servant, but bring them on as a term employee or NTE, not to exceed employee or a temporary employee. Do you think that, that's going to be a trend that some agencies are going to begin, you know, going with rather than bringing people on as full civil servants or full employees, full permanent employees?
Yeah, if they're jittery about their budget, that might be a way to hire people without a long-term commitment.
Okay.
But you know, those appointments often can lead to permanent appointments. And I talked to somebody the other day, a scientist with a master's degree, and she was considering taking a term appointment because she said, hey, I haven't figured out my life yet. Mm. It doesn't really matter to me.
Sure.
If it only lasts 2 years, that's enough for me.
Right, so it
can suit the lifestyles of a lot of people.
Right. Well, for some people, I mean, without question, you have situations where, like you said, you know, there may be some people say, you know what, I only have about 5 more years where I want to work.
Yeah.
And so rather than looking for something, they're not looking for retirement. They're looking for something to, you know, kind of say, listen, this works for me right now,
mm-hmm.
and then I can work these additional 5 years. Or for maybe a younger person who's not necessarily tied into any kind of organization, they may say, well, listen, this works for me right now, and then I can decide where I want to go from there. I mean, do you think that we're in a new career model just with everybody?
You know, and speaking of older workers, which is going to become more and more in the scene because people are going to be retiring later and later because of the economy and because we're living longer.
Cost of living is higher.
Exactly. Not to mention cuts coming along the way. The EPA has a program where they, especially for older workers, where they bring them in. They're not full-fledged federal employees, but they work at EPA and they're hired by EPA. So that's another out-of-the-box kind of way to get into government.
Do you think that some HR people are really starting to look at that as an option to bring in, like you said, that seasoned person, you know, get them, you know, for whatever period of time and say, hey, you can benefit the agency, you can benefit your country, and then say, you know, we don't have to bring you in. And I guess the question of it is, if you come in as a term employee, do you still get the same benefits? I mean, do you still, or there's a lot of times it is much different. Term, is that more of a contract scenario and everything else? I mean, what is that?
Right. Yes, if you're not a full-fledged employee, you don't get exactly the same benefits of a full-fledged employee. But I would urge contractors and term people and everybody to negotiate your salary when you're offered it. And not only to negotiate your salary, but the vacation time. That's crucial. I talked to a federal contractor the other day who said she didn't negotiate and she gets a total of 2 weeks sick and vacation time a year.
Wow.
And I think she didn't know to negotiate, and I think she wouldn't be in that position if she had negotiated.
You know, I want to talk about that because a lot of people, let's go into your book over the next segment or so, because a lot of people don't know to negotiate. I think that, you know, people think it's like the military, that you get in, you accept your rank, and as you got to accept your pay.
Exactly, good analogy.
But, you know, there is a lot of negotiation room, and I want to talk to you about how do you go about doing that, and you know, how much can you negotiate? I mean, you know, what are some of the strategies when you begin looking at that kind of stuff? We're talking to Lily Whiteman. She is the author of How to Land a Top-Paying Federal Job. The book is out there. You can do a search on Google, anywhere, Bing, or wherever the case is. You can find it at Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, or anywhere that sells books. But it's a great book that gives a basically part one, part two, part three, and so on, process of how to get that federal job that's out there. She has a lot of experience in the federal government herself, so she's writing it from experience. And we'll talk to her a little bit more about this federal job search. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Federal News Radio with Derek T. Dorch on Fed Access. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are talking about the federal job market. What is going on with the federal job market? Are there openings? Is sequestration having an impact? How do you get in a dynamic where there may be less federal jobs? And it's a federal job market. Is it still hiring? Are agencies still hiring? We've talked about internships, pathway programs, and other opportunities. We talked about a number of different issues on this show today. We're talking to Lily Whiteman. She is the author of How to Land a Top-Paying Federal Job. She's a federal career expert. She's also been a federal employee for quite some time, so she's speaking from experience about this whole process. So she knows the ins and outs of the federal government. Lily, when we talked, we were kind of talking about this whole dynamic of salaries, you know, and a lot of people will look at the salary and, you know, agencies will give them a salary, or if they get a conditional offer, whatever the case is, they'll give them a salary. Do you have to accept that initial salary, or do you really honestly have negotiation room? And you even mentioned about negotiating time off or other things. Do you really have, I mean, a lot of people get scared with negotiation. You know, they get scared about it. You know, do you really have that leeway room with the federal government?
Absolutely. I negotiated my own salary, and I've helped lots of people negotiate salary. I've seen people increase their salary offers by over $10,000 a year. And even if you only increase your salary by a couple of $1,000 a year, over the course of your career, and including what goes into your retirement fund, it can be hundreds of thousands of dollars of difference over the course of a career. So I think it's essential to negotiate, and I've never seen anybody have an offer rescinded by simply saying, is this offer negotiable? That's a yes or no question. They're not going to take the offer away. As long as you don't give them an ultimatum, there's nothing to be lost by asking. And in most cases, they are going to lowball you. That's the sad truth.
You know, with all of that, because when you see the range, you're looking at USA Jobs or whatever, you see that range on there.
Exactly.
Do you need to kind of copy that thing down? A lot of people will kind of like apply for a job and forget it. You know, do you need to just copy that thing down so you know what's going on when they do give you the offer? I mean, how do you suggest you
Absolutely.
Go about doing
that? I'm glad you brought that up, because it's important to print out the announcement for every job you apply for, not only to know the salary range, but also when you go for an interview, you really want to review the job description,
right,
so that you can match your skills best to it.
Right.
But in terms of salary negotiation, you're right. Usually if they give a range, you're not going to get above the top of the range, but you can move towards that top of the range, and you can do that by giving a list of the reasons why you exceed the minimum qualifications for the job, and write it out. Make a bulleted list. Do you have more degrees? Do you have more work experience? Did you get great grades in school? Whatever it is. And you can also mention things like, if you're moving from a city that has a lower cost of living to a higher cost of living, that matters too.
Right.
So do their work for them, make it easier for them. And there's something called superior qualifications, that if you can prove you've got superior qualifications, they can bring you in, they don't have to start you at the lowest end of a grade. They can up it. And you might, if a position has two grade levels or three, you might even be able to get a higher grade.
And you said also like time off and all that. I mean, is everything negotiable?
Absolutely. And that's recent, within the last few years, that when they bring in mid-career professionals, you can negotiate not to start at the accrual rate that an entry-level person would start at.
Wow. So now the federal government, the same tools that used to be used by the private sector in terms of maybe negotiating and negotiating kind of benefits or time off or whatever the case is, now the federal government is getting into that game as well, where you can negotiate a couple of different things. Do you think it's better than the private sector?
I think that it's at least
comparable?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Another thing you can negotiate for is student loan repayments, or if you want to continue to go to school, that your tuition reimbursement, even sometimes things like parking, which can add up to quite a bit, can be negotiable.
You know, in this market where we're seeing the budgets, you know, going to get cut, or however it's going to work, are some of those things that used to be kind of, a lot of people will say, listen, I'm going to the federal government because I want that student loan repayment. Is some of that going to get off the table now? I mean, are we going to see a decrease, or do you think that as we get past this budget process, some of those things will still be on the table, especially maybe for hard to fill kind of position, like a cyber warrior or whoever the case is? I mean, where do you see that going?
I I know of cases right now during sequestration where negotiations are going on. Mm-hmm. So I think that negotiation is always a possibility. And in my book, I do walk you through exactly how to negotiate, what to say, and how to say it to get the best offer you can.
So really, this goes to the hype thing. You know, don't sometimes listen to the hype.
Right.
About, you know, that the federal government about to crash,
exactly.
You know, that we're not going to have a government the next day or something like that. Continue to go forward, kind of, you know, calm yourself down and then kind of say, you know what, the government's going to still be here. We're going to get past these problems and let me just do my thing and negotiate my salary, not worry about everything else. Is that the best kind of advice?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All I can say is in every economic situation I've seen in the last 20 years, salaries have been negotiable, and I think that that will continue to be the case.
In terms of trends and looking at the market, you know, we've got a couple things that are going on. What are you seeing? I mean, of course, cyber is big. You know, we're going to see an increase. Are there any other agencies that you kind of see a trend of kind of seeing maybe an uptick of hiring?
Contract management is another area where there's an extreme shortage.
Okay.
And all types of cybersecurity and
sure.
IT.
Sure.
I think those are, and engineering as well.
Okay.
I think people really in the technical skills are the shortages. When I spoke to the OPM official some weeks ago about the PMF program, she said traditionally they've hired a lot of lawyers into that program, but they're looking for more and more technical people. So in those policy type positions.
So even with policy, you may need a technical background because the work that they're doing is so technical. I mean, in terms of being able to read it, you got to be an engineer sometimes to understand that the policy that you're dealing with engineering issues or whatever the case is.
And another important point about this is that accepted service agencies, which there are a number of them, and you can Google that term to find out which ones they are, tend to pay much higher than the agencies that are not in the accepted service. And they tend to do so because for security reasons and because many of them are the agencies that deal with financial issues, they're competing with Wall Street.
Mm.
So their salaries are higher.
And
the SEC is one of the big agencies that's going to be doing a lot of hiring.
Right.
And their salaries, I sent an opening to a friend of mine at the SEC, and he said, he wrote back to me, and this is a current fit, is this a mistake?
He's like, what? Whose salary is this, right? Yeah. You know, you mentioned something that's really important, accepted versus competitive service. And, you know, those two kind of dynamics that are out there, they're definitely two different beasts in mm-hmm. terms of the job search and everything else. What's the difference?
The main difference, practical difference for a job seeker's point of view is that the accepted service agencies pay more and that they're less likely to advertise on USA jobs because a lot of them involve the security agencies that they don't want to publicize their openings as much. So it's more important to, some of them will advertise their openings on USA jobs, but not all of them.
Right.
It's more,
and
a lot
they're
of them
not required to.
Right. And a lot of them, another places to look for hiring everywhere is the social media sites of agencies. More and more agencies are going there. Mm. And a lot of the security agencies do a lot of job fairs, too. Mm. So that's another place.
So when you say social media sites, I mean, should people be on, you know, monitoring the Facebook site of an agency or monitoring the Twitter site of an agency or, you know, a LinkedIn site of an, I mean, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm totally saying. Yeah. Absolutely. More and more recruiting is going on through those sites.
So rather than going to USA Jobs, they'll just tweet the job out.
You know? It could happen. Absolutely.
Wow. You know, with all of that, and I want to go into this into the next segment as we look at a dynamic of making yourself more competitive. You know, I mean, because as you see that job that you think is for you, you know, what do you do, especially in this market right now where you hear there's, you know, 300, 400 people, 1,000 people competing for the same job that you're competing, even multiple openings, you may have thousands of people applying for that same job. How do you make yourself the most competitive in order to get that job? You know, I want to talk about that when we come back. We're talking to Lily Whiteman. She is a federal career expert writes a number of different articles, Federal Times and other places. She has a book, I should say, and has written a number of books. But her most recent book is How to Land a Top-Paying Federal Job. That's out there right now. You can find it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and other places. Great book. Walks you through the various steps about finding a federal job. But we're talking to her today about this federal job market and how to get into the federal job market and how to land that top-paying federal job, whether it be through an internship program or through going into that job that's a higher level or mid-level. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we've been having an interesting show on the federal job market, about getting a federal job, about what's out there, about various programs that you can get into. A number of different interesting things have come out of this, these various segments that we've had. And you can learn a lot of different things about special programs, whether it be through associations, through internships, through the pathway programs, through certain fellowships, through certain kind of hiring initiatives, through accepted service or competitive service, about how to get into the federal government, that they are still hiring, even though sequestration is going on, even though there are talked about budget issues going on, the federal government is still hiring right now. We're talking to Lady Whiteman. She is the author of How to Land a Top-Paying Federal Job. It's a book that's out there. You can find it anywhere. Do a Google search on it. You can find it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and wherever else. But she is a career expert of the federal government, focusing on these issues, and she's giving us some tips, some guidance about what you should do. Lily, when we're talking about, you know, now you found a job, you know, okay, so you've gone through these hoops and hurdles, mm-hmm. you found a special program, mm-hmm. you found a job just for you. And let me even ask a question with that. When you find a job, a lot of people will say, you know, I've been doing this federal job search for a long time. Do you think that people should lowball themselves and kind of say, you know what, their experience may be at a GS 12 level or 13, but then they're saying, since I'm searching, I'm not getting any traction, they're applying for GS-7 jobs. Is that a good strategy?
I think if you go down too low, you're going to be overqualified, so you're not going to get the position anyway.
Hmm.
The most I would go down is one GS step, because okay. usually after a year, usually, you move up a GS step.
Sure.
So if you go down one, it's probably just for a year. But
HR people, they're not silly. They're looking at that to see how much qualifications does this person have. Are they going to stay in this role or not?
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's not even necessarily the best model. It's better to really kind of just apply for what you're qualified for.
Right.
Yeah. With the dynamic of looking at how to make yourself the most competitive, what's the best way?
The best way is to write an application that's going to stand out from the pack, and to do everything better than everybody else. And I say, forget the gimmicks. You know, some career coaches say, mimic your interviewer. And I'm like, you've got enough to worry about just right. answering good questions.
Sure.
And I've interviewed hundreds of hiring managers, and I've never heard one say, I hired this person because he mimicked me.
right.
So in terms of writing
that's
the
too
best.
Much thinking about what the person's doing and trying to follow them, right?
Weird. I think the person right. would be a weirdo.
Get out of my office.
So something that you've talked about a lot already in your column and on this show is tailoring to
sure.
the opening. So I'll talk about a couple of other things. One thing is most applications have short answer questions where you're asked to self-rate yourself.
Right.
Scroll your background. Judge yourself liberally, please. I've seen so many people give themselves poor ratings when they really were qualified. So judge yourself liberally and generously, and try to give yourself the best answer you can for each short answer question of the highest ranking and responsibility. You won't get points for candor. You really only get points for having the experience. And if you can't answer the highest level or almost the highest level for all of those questions, spend your time elsewhere.
Why do we see so much of the lowballing? I mean, is do people not understand their qualifications sometimes? I mean, people haven't spent enough time, people too humble, or people think that's going to be, you know, I'm bragging too much on myself. I mean, why do we, because, you know,
think
why do we see that?
All of the above, and I think they're not practiced in capturing the importance of the work and describing it in compelling terms. I'll give you an example. Here's something you might see on a resume. Worked on organizing a conference.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really tell me much.
Right.
Worked on, that's a vague word. Right. Helped is a vague word. I don't like to see those words.
Right.
So
right.
Here's one way to beef it up. Just hypothetically, worked on organizing a conference versus identify U.S.'s top 10 experts in H1N1 research and recruited them to speak at an international conference on H1N1. Tell me why it's important. Tell me who the audience for your work was, who it was distributed by, who it was read by, who approved it. And I think that takes a lot of practice, and that's something that I go into a lot in my book about how in interviews and in a resume to describe what you did in the best, highest terms. There's no need to lie.
Right.
Just say what you did in impressive terms, and you probably do okay.
Right. You know, you talk to a lot of different people, and even in your roles, you know, as a senior person in government, you've interviewed a number of different people. I mean, what do you see as some of the top kind of turnoffs for you as a hiring person, or, you know, even when you've talked to some of these hiring managers, that people just blow it on? Beyond mimicking.
And you know what? They're really simple things, so that means they're really easy things
to fix.
They haven't researched the organization. They haven't practiced describing themselves, so they...
Let's go to the research first. When you talk about researching, are we saying that the people, they walk in there, they don't really, you know, they haven't done the homework on the organization, they just come in there completely... As if they don't know what's going on.
If it's Tuesday, it's the transportation department. That kind of
right,
attitude.
Okay.
You know, people, just like in a personal relationship, you don't want to be friends with somebody who's just desperate to be friends with you.
Right.
You want to be friends with somebody who you feel likes you, understands what's special about you, and appreciates it.
Right.
Same thing with hiring managers.
Right.
They want to hire somebody who's got fire in the belly for what they're doing. And the way to express that is to know what it is they're doing. And even if you don't care so much about it, to pretend that since you rolled out of the womb, your life's mission has been to get there.
Right.
So passion is really important.
Right.
And you can even show passion in an application, in a cover letter. To say, I've been interested in this topic. I've done X, Y, and Z on this topic my entire life because it means so much to me because of X, Y, and Z.
Right, right. That's going to grab somebody, especially
absolutely.
When it kind of stands out. You know, are the other, you know, things like a person, say, for instance, you know, you were a top tennis star, you were a scuba diver. I mean, are those things anytime relevant to in an application or somebody's resume? As a hiring person, have you heard hiring people say, I've looked at those small little things that grab my attention? What do you think?
Yeah, I've heard people say it makes a person seem more well-rounded. Unless your hobby is directly related to the job, I don't think it's a make or break. I've never heard of it being a make or break point.
It may be something that you can add on, but don't count on it.
Right. Or if you go into an interview and you see that your interviewer is a scuba diver because he's got scuba diving pictures and you're a scuba diver, yeah, bring that up. It's common ground.
Sure.
But otherwise, you've got such limited space to sell yourself that use it for things that directly address target
relevant. It sounds as if to me, and I know we've got to close up, and I hate that time goes so fast when we're talking, but it sounds as if to me that a person really does, a lot of people are not spending enough time on the process in terms of help, you know, that's going to benefit them in terms of selling themselves, doing the proper research, knowing how to, you know, tell their own stories. Is that what you think? Is that what you're seeing a lot?
Absolutely. If you spend the time on it, and another thing is to get feedback from other people.
Mm.
You know, show your resume to a trusted associate and ask them to pick out your top three credentials in 10 seconds. Because you know what? That's what a hiring manager is looking to do. And if they can't do it, keep working on it and ask them, how do I make this better?
Right.
How do I describe myself better? Because sometimes your friends or your spouses will know the importance of your work or be able to
identify
it better than you can.
Lily Whiteman, she is a federal career expert. She is the author of the book that's out there right now about how to land a top-paying federal job. It's out there on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, and other places. You can see her all over. She writes a column, Federal Times, and everywhere else. Well, we're going to have her back on the show in a couple months again to keep on talking about how to get this federal job. How can people find these federal jobs? But Lily, thank you for coming on FedAccess.
Thank you. It's always great to be here.
You've been listening to FedAccess with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. FedAccess with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.